Approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager, NMLS number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone. And the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated. And if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to rich4reverses.com.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions, this is Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Senior Chief, Navy Seabees, and welcome to our program this morning. We've got a wonderful guest here that we'll be talking with, and just wanted to remind you, I am the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and our several other programs that we work with all the time, which is Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, taking care of our veterans and their families coming back from the war zone. Deployment overseas and helping those families while their loved one is deployed with emergency services and groceries and things like that. We have a Silver Star Veterans and Widows program where we help to take care of our elderly veterans and widows of veterans who have passed on that need advocacy and help. We help them with groceries and services and advocacy and things like that, support. I work with the widows all the time. There's always widows in our community that have questions or different things like that, and we talk with them. We work with them. We try to take them birthday cards and flowers from certain occasions when we get the opportunity to encourage them. A lot of them with this COVID-19, their families are not visiting them. They're by themselves at their homes. But they allow me to come in. I'll come in and talk with them and sit down and spend a half an hour with them. And it might be the only visitation that they get in a month's time. And so it really is just showing up sometimes and just talking with them for a half hour or so and sharing with them helps to brighten up their entire week. I spent some time with a widow yesterday and sat on the couch and talked with her. It happened to be her birthday, so I took her a birthday card from Silver Star Widows and a box of chocolates to say thank you to her. She said, you know, you're the only person that's come and talked to me in 6 weeks. And I try to see her every 2 weeks. I try just to stop by, say hi or whatever else, have a soda with her. And she is, her husband was a master chief and he passed away, and she was part of our program. We helped her with advocacy. She's receiving widow's compensation, widow's pension from the VA for her husband's service, during Vietnam. He was a 30-year veteran. It's just a great opportunity. If we had not helped her with this program with Silver Star Widows, she would have lost her home. And so when we're able to get them to the Veterans Service Office and are able to fill out the paperwork and they're qualified, this is an opportunity for us to help these people survive in our community who honored their loved one while they were serving around the world, taking care of our freedom, doing the mission of whatever branch of service they were in. And so it's, it's critical for us to be able to help these individuals in our community. And then we have what's called C for T, which is Christmas for the Troops, and that's where we send packages overseas to help take care of our military personnel that are deployed around the world. If you don't know it, the only time that the military ever gives you anything like shampoos or anything like that or shaving equipment or whatever, is when you're in boot camp. That's it. The rest of the time you fend for yourself. So you get deployed. If you don't carry it with you, you don't have it. So when you run out, or you beg and you borrow and you get it from somebody else, or somebody sends it to you in a care package. They do have a PX, which is an exchange. It's a small store on some of the bases, but they're limited supplies. And sometimes you can get toothpaste or toothbrushes or deodorant while it lasts, because there's so many personnel that are waiting for those supplies to come in that if you're not there when the truck unloads, the shelves literally are bare in the PX. And it's just like going into Walmart during a toilet paper issue. The shelves were bare because of hoarding. Well, this isn't hoarding. There's just, you can only get so much because there's only so much. When we were in Iraq, we were on convoys every night. And during the day, we would sleep. By the time we got to the PX, there was hardly anything. The only thing that was left was stuff that people didn't want. That was it. And so sometimes you bought that, and sometimes you didn't because you just didn't have any. So you shared with your buddy or whatever else until you got a care package from home. And then in that care package, it had cookies and crackers and toothpaste and shaving cream and deodorant. I mean, it's the bare minimum supplies that you need to get through your daily effort. And sometimes the smallest things mean the greatest things, especially when you're out there sweating and perspiring and everything else, and you don't have that deodorant. Boy, it just you literally get rubbed wrong, and you just stink. And so those little things become so important. The reason I bring that up is that this last week, we took all the supplies that we've had that have come in over the last couple of months, and we boxed 125 care packages. And we are preparing to ship those out this next week, and they'll be going to the Middle East, to Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Iraq, some to ships. And those care packages will be the items that these military men and women will get. And they have shampoos and razors and shaving cream and women's necessities and goodies. There's candy in them. There's we've sent some encouraging word. There's small Bibles that are in there also. And there are letters in there from children from our community saying thank you for their freedom. Thank you for serving our nation and our country. And what a great opportunity it is for us to continue to move forward during this pandemic crisis, whatever they want to call it, and continue to take care of our military personnel that are serving around the world, and to say thank you to them while they're out there putting their lives on the line. I know I've been there. My guest has been there. We won't know what it's like to be in the thick of it and in the dirt and have the bare minimums. And when you get a package from somebody that you don't know and it says thank you, believe me, it lifts your spirits so greatly. That you're getting that, and it's just like, okay, you know what? They haven't forgotten about us. They haven't just sent us out, and we're doing all this for nothing. Because there was times when it was so depressing sometimes coming back from missions and everything else. You're so beat up, you're so exhausted, you're so tired that you ask yourself, is this worth it? You know, is all of this worth it? But you know, it is worth it. That's why we signed on the dotted line. There's nothing easy about serving in the military. The military is tough. There's no other word to put it. Yeah, there's some branches that have a little easier than others, and it is what it is. But when you're serving this nation and you get down to the nitty-gritty where the tire meets the road and you're the grind between the asphalt and the tire where you get crushed and pressed hard, that's when it takes the tenacity and it takes the courage and it takes the discipline for you to keep moving forward to complete the mission so that you can do your job and finally make it home. Because when you're there and you're getting shot at and everything else is taking place, it's too soon to leave and too soon to go home because you're there for the duration. You can't just say, you know what, I'm done today, where I'm going home. Ain't happening. When you're there, you're there. I remember when we crossed the border from Kuwait into Iraq, and it was late at night. And we'd only been in Iraq for about 20 miles, and we started taking enemy fire through our convoy team. And I thought to myself, okay, no more training. This is it. I was the only trained personnel on my convoy team that had prior combat experience. All the rest of my guys were green. And they looked to me for everything. And I knew that I had to stand up and be the leader, because if I wasn't the example that they were looking for, we would fail. And it was critical to be able to move forward, to be positive, to be disciplined, and to do the job to the best of our ability. And I drew on the strength of my God to be able to endeavor those 8.5 months of combat duty to be able to make that happen. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
It's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and today. That's 54757.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Senior Chief Rob Burrows here. I'm your host this morning. Yes, this is my country. And you know something? When you own something or you're part of something, you don't just destroy it. You don't throw it away. You build it up. You make it better. you encourage the people around you to have a better organization. Let me tell you, running three nonprofits, if I was just out there maintaining the personnel that are part of the organization, it would literally fall apart. People would become disgruntled. They would just leave. They wouldn't care. The nonprofit would be worthless because it's not doing what the mission statement says that it's supposed to be doing. And it's the same thing as our country. Our mission statement for this country is the Constitution of the United States. It gives us direction. It gives us encouragement. It gives us hope. And it gives us what it stands for us to step up as Americans and to fight and defend her. And it is critical for each and every one of us. You know, and I'll come right back and I'll tell you the same thing that we've said many times before. If you live in this country and you're here and you're part of it every single day, you need to be defending it. You need to be stepping up and saying, this is my country, this is my town, this is my city, this is my home, and not just let it fall through the cracks, but to stand up for it, to stand up for your rights and what you believe in based on the Constitution of the United States, because that is our founding document. It's just like when you work for another company, another corporation. When you are working for that company, you follow the guidelines of the leadership of that company, whether it's a sole proprietor or it's a corporate head. You follow those directions. You work hard. You help that company to be successful. And that's how it should be for every one of us as Americans, to step up for this nation and to make it successful. There's too much division. There's too much individualism. We need to come back together and work together as a nation. I want to read this to you real quick. This is a statement that was made by George Carlin, who has passed away now. And if you remember, George Carlin was a comedian through the 70s and 80s. Lots of good things. He was controversial, but this statement that he wrote, I really would like to read it to you. And it speaks to all of us right now. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings with shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet we have more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much. We smoke too much. We spend too recklessly with our money. We laugh too little. We drive too fast and get too angry. We stay up late. We get too tired. We read way too little. We watch way too much TV. And we pray very seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk much. Love too seldom and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more and learn less. We plan more but accomplish less. We've learned to rush but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast food and slow digestion, big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, fancier houses but broken homes. These are days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throw-away morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring this letter to you, and a time when you can choose either to share this insight or just throw it away. Remember to spend more time with your loved ones, because they are not going to be around forever. Remember to say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in awe, because that little person soon will grow up and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to one next to you, because that is the only treasure you can give them with your heart, and it doesn't cost a cent. Remember to say thank you and to say I love you to your partner or your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. A kiss and an embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep inside of you. Remember to hold hands and cherish the moment, for someday that person will not be there again. Give time to love. Give time to speak. And give time to share the precious thoughts in your mind. And always remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by those moments that take our breaths away. How profound it is that George Carlson had said that after his wife had passed away in 2008. The realization of what you have and what you lose, and sometimes you don't understand or even know any part of that until after the fact. I want to go ahead and bring another patriotic statement to you here. We're going to play that right now.
I had a dream the other night. I didn't understand. A figure walking through the mist with a rifle in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by the bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low, he said,
"We fought a revolution to secure your liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave to make you the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we thought you'd always keep. But tyrants labor endlessly while your parents were asleep. Now your freedom's gone. Your courage is lost. You're no more than a slave in your land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel, permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or build a place for one. On land you think you own, you pay your yearly rent. But you don't have a voice in saying how that money's spent. Now your children attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about your current news in a regulated press and pay more taxes than you owe to that thing called IRS. Your money's no longer made of silver or gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. And you pay for crimes that make your nation turn from God in shame. Now you've taken Satan's number and traded in your name. You give your government control to those who could do you harm, so they could padlock churches and steal the family farm and keep the nation deep in debt while putting men of faith in jail. And then harass your fellow countrymen while your corrupt courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And now your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. You send guns and artillery to foreign shore, and then you send your youth to slaughter, fighting other people's wars. Could you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or have you lost your courage and your faith to stand with pride?
Are there no more values for which you fight to save?
Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Then, people of this republic, it's time to rise and take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of your land. Preserve your great republic and every God-given right. And let us pray to God to keep that torch of freedom burning bright.
As I awoke, he vanished. In the mist from which he came, his words were true. We are not free. We have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you're asleep and wondered what remains of our rights he fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and the home of the brave?"
Yes, this is still the land of the home and the free and the brave. And we, as Americans, need to step up to the plate. We need to be paying attention to everything that's going on around us right now, because right now is a critical time frame for us to step up and to make a difference. And if we don't take this time right now, it will be to the point where it won't be too late, but it will cost more lives and it will cost more in everything that we have as true Americans. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The army and the navy, never.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy Seabees. And I'll tell you what, the Seabees are more Marines than they are Seabees, more Navy. I did 23 years in the United States Navy and never served board ship. Was always with the Marines someplace, getting dirty, getting down, sweaty heart, no sleep, eating MREs if you're lucky to have one, and just making it happen. And was always very proud to serve with the Marine Corps. My guest this morning is Marine Corps veteran Carlos Zapata, and after we've talked, we've learned that we both served in Fallujah in 2006 at the same time there at Camp Fallujah, which is part of the Al Anbar Province Marine Corps base. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you being here, especially as a fellow veteran and a Marine. I can't call myself a fellow Marine because I'm not on a CB, but when I was in Iraq with the 1st MF, I earned my Fleet Marine Force combat badge.
You know, that's a smart thing the Marine Corps did, because so often
you can only get it as a CB or a corpsman.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was a fantastic thing, because we serve so closely together, you know, and you are our brothers in arms, you know, in a very close fashion, because we're there together, you know, as one. And we always considered our docs, you know, were with us Marines, right? And so when they came up with that pin,
we ran so many convoys, I couldn't finish my MEF FMF. And so when 1st MEF transitioned out and 2nd MEF came in, which is Marine Expeditionary Force, they said, we're not going to honor that.
Yeah.
We'd been there for 7 months, and we were leaving in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I said, Master Chief, you have to honor it. He goes, well, you're just going to have to do the murder board and everything all over again. We came in off of a 35-hour convoy tour. I went in there to talk to the Master Chief, because it was my board. And I was so exhausted, I could hardly remember my name. And they just rattled me. I was with another corpsman. They just rattled me left and right. And I answered like 80% of everything correct, but it was like 15%. And they just ran me hard. Sent me out of the room. The other corpsman came back out with the certificate, sent me back in. He says, man, I just don't think that you're going to make it. And I was just like, it's like at that point, I was so exhausted. It's like, well, whatever. I gave my best.
Sure.
And then as I started to stand up, he goes, sit down. Here's your certificate. You know, cool. And they went ahead and they gave it to me. Anything, you know, they understood what was taking place and everything else. But I had worked 8 solid months in the combat situation to earn that FMF. So
That's awesome.
That FMF means that brotherhood. It really so working with the Marines really means that much to me.
There's a lot of pride in that. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself this morning, your Marine Corps duty and your service when you were in Iraq.
So as we were talking earlier, you know, I enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserve when I was in high school still. You know, actually, no, I just graduated high school. It was 1996, and then I ended up deferring my enlistment for a year to 1997. At the time, I was also enrolled in college, so I was up here at Simpson, you know, University now. It was Simpson College back then.
Right.
You know. So I was in the Marine Corps Reserve there. I was drilling down out of San Bruno, out of 23rd Marines, you know, for about 4 years, and then when I graduated college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I said, well, shoot, I might, you know, go to the Marine Corps active duty. But I put it off for a year or two. You know, I was working different jobs. I moved back home to Sonoma County, you know, worked a couple different jobs and stuff, you know, and came back here, got my teaching credential, and said, you know what, I don't want to teach. This is not for me. You know, I want to go. And this is all post 9/11 now, so we're all itching to go somewhere and do something, you know. So I went ahead and I went on active duty, you know, and I ended up getting a commission and went back to Quantico, you know, and became an officer in the Marine Corps. And that was the beginning of a long journey, you know.
Right.
So and that experience was, all, you know, really cool for me, you know, because I'd had some experience in the reserves, you know. I'd gotten to do some cool stuff, some good training and stuff, you know, but nothing could really prepare me for the active duty life, you know, and that's really where I feel I would have belonged as a 17 or 18 year old young man,
right.
You know, but now it's a little bit older now, you know, I had a degree and I was an officer. So it was definitely a different perspective, you know, but, I remember when I first stood in front of my first platoon, you know, I had 42 Marines, you know, and I was 24 years old and most of them were older, you know, more seasoned than I was, you know, a lot of them have already been to combat. They've already been to war and returned. And, that in itself was a very humbling experience, but I learned so much. As you know, we learn from our enlisted guys, you know, former Marines. They're the ones that train us and teach us.
If our JOs will listen.
Absolutely. You know. So I was part of 3rd Ladder Battalion at Camp Pendleton. That was the first unit that I checked into as an active duty, you know, young lieutenant. And I was pretty lucky because I was able to be become a platoon commander right away. Back in those days, you know, getting a platoon as a second lieutenant was kind of like, you
rare.
Know, the holy grail, man. Wow, I got a platoon right away. But luckily, the guy who I took over for fell on the sword. You know, he was a great guy. He just was ready to move on. They were ready to move him on to other things. So I was able to take his platoon right away. And I just had some really great guys. We got to do some great training. Got to go to Bridgeport. I'm not, yep, we go to Bridgeport.
I spent time at Bridgeport, and we were out in the field, and it froze that night, dropped down to 13 degrees.
Got to do the Mount Warfare Training Center there. You know, that was awesome. And then the balloon went up, you know, and that said that we were going to go.
We may have been there at the same time.
We may have been. I was there at, actually, 05.
Oh, I was there in 99.
Okay. That was 05, right before we deployed. And I had an interesting experience because I actually got, you know, my platoon commander time was over. And at that time, I got pulled. Senior lieutenants all got pulled to go to the MEF, you know, to deploy to Iraq, which was bittersweet because I was like, yes, I'm getting to go. I want to go to the war. I want to go to Iraq. I want to, you know, do my duty. But I wouldn't go with my Marines who I'd been training with for the last, you know,
right,
a couple of years, you know.
Sometimes that's critical. You know?
So I actually got to go to Iraq in a pretty cool capacity. I got to go be a part of a really good cell of guys working in an IO team, information operations team. So I ended up having to go get secondary MOS, you know, as an information operations officer, and that was just a really neat deal. I just learned so much. That was a steep, steep learning curve, you know. Just when I thought I was finding my groove, you know,
right,
with my guys, like, here I go, you know. But, you know, yeah, we were there at the same time, so I got there in February. You know, we landed in Fallujah, where we, you know, landed in Takadim, as many of us did, you know, and then
Kuwait. Well, we were in Ali Asalim, Kuwait, and we convoyed all the way up.
Okay, yeah, so we went Kuwait to Takadim to Fallujah, you know, actually to Ramadi, and Ramadi to Fallujah. And, you know, I mean, we can probably talk about experiences there, you know, but our mission there, my mission there was to shape the battlefield through information, you know. And I think this is so relevant to what we're doing today, you know, and it's a direct tie-in.
I think your intel reports are what I read every single day before we went out on the road.
100%.
So, your intel reports saved our lives.
They absolutely were.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure that's what it was.
And an interesting thing, you know, that I wasn't prepared for was that I had, you know, an airman, a sailor, you know, a soldier, and then Marines working for me, you know, in country. So I thought it was a pretty cool deal. So I got to see, you know, a joint operation at the very ground level, which is neat, you know, and see, you know, brothers from every service work together, you know, in a very real and productive way. And that was cool. That was very, very rewarding, you know. But I feel like that job prepared me for what we're doing today, because here we are. We are shaping this battlefield that we're in with information, right? Just as we did there, we got information, we disseminated information, you know, and it was just so crucial at that time that we got our story out, that we got the real story, because as you know, at that time we're fighting Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda had such a robust information plan, you know?
Yeah, they sure did.
You know, they really were able to get their message through radio stations that they had set up, and they were able to really win that information operations game for a long time, you know?
Well, hearts and souls and minds of people. I mean, that's critical, especially
absolutely.
When we were working. We were the odd man out working in the country, and we were trying to engage and to work with the Iraqi citizens and also those that were insurgents that we didn't know were insurgents. That we dealt with every day, and one minute they're smiling at us, and the next day they've got the sights in the middle of our back.
Yeah, they're trying to kill you. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the hard part, right? I mean, that's a very God, it was just such a complex theater, you know, because like you said, you don't know who your enemy is, you know who your friends are, you know, and just a lot of information, a lot of misinformation, disinformation, you know, as we're receiving today, right?
That's right.
There's a lot of that going on here. But they were just so good at it. They were so good. And, you know, rightfully so, right? Because, I mean, that's their country. And if we were fighting here, we'd be able to get our information out a lot faster as well, you know. But we worked with some fantastic PSYOP teams too, Army PSYOP guys, you know. And people always ask, well, what's the difference between PSYOP and information operations, you know? Well, PSYOP can do certain things that IO guys can't, you know, with regard to telling the truth or bending the truth, you know.
Right. Hold that thought. We're going to take a break we're going to come right back.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit.
my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Same good old boy that you
Very next morning, I took a walk through the neighborhood. I thought it's been so long since I've been in a place where everything is good. People laughing and children were playing. And as I watched them, I found myself praying, Lord, keep them safe here at home in the land of the free.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and when I have the veterans in here and they're talking about just coming back from a war, this song helps to tell that story about the integration of military personnel back home. And that's kind of what our program with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services is, help with some of that transition and to let our veterans know that they're not alone and they're not by themselves. And even though there's separation anxiety from the men or the women that they served with, how important it is for them to be able to know that they're not alone in our community, because sometimes it can just be like you're an island by yourself, even though you're surrounded by people. Our guest this morning, again, is Carlos Zapata, United States Marine Corps officer, served in Fallujah, Iraq at the same time that I did. Privilege and pleasure to have you this morning as our guest, Carlos.
Hey, thanks again. This is really my privilege.
So yeah, go ahead and continue your story as you're pleasure. Talking about PSYOPs and OI and everything that was going on.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, we just, like I was saying, worked with some great guys, some Army guys, you know, and people ask, you know, what's the difference between information operations and PSYOP, you know, and one was the Marine Corps version, one's an Army version, you know, but PSYOP did have some capabilities that we did not. And at that time, information operations was such a new thing to the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps has always been so kinetic, you know, and that we're taking the real fight to the enemy. And yes,
right,
we're doing that, you know, but we always left out that information part. So that was a key part that we were
C4I, right?
Incorporated. Absolutely. And,
yes,
and that's exactly what we were incorporating into the battle plans, you know. But, one thing I'll say, you know, is that my son was born in December of 05, you know, and then when he was 2 weeks old, I left. I had to go to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, you know, for IO school, you know, and I came back, and then, you know, I left, you know, about a month after that, you know, so I had a real little one, you know. So an interesting thing was that, you know, I already had my daughter, and my daughter at the time was 2 years old, and my son had just been born. So there I was, a brand new dad.
Critical years.
You know, absolutely, you know, and I'm thinking that stuff gets in your head, right? It's like, man, are they going to be okay without me here, you know? I'm deploying, I'm going to be gone for, at that time, we were supposed to be gone for a year, you know, ended up being an 8-month deployment. You know, but you have all those thoughts about your family and what's going on back home. But I was able to make that transition after about, I think, 2 weeks in country. I was able to make that transition where I felt like, okay, I can put that behind me. They're going
to
be all right. They're going
to
be safe, you know, and we have a job to do.
Yeah.
Here. You know, you can't be effective if you're only focused. And I saw a lot of guys, and I'd, you know, try not to get angry with them. I try to understand them, you know, but I had very little tolerance for that. You know, I'm like, look, we're here to do a job. And if we don't 100% dedicate to the job we're doing here, we're not going back. You know, we're
that's
not
exactly
ever,
right.
Ever going to come home. So, but let's talk about the transition home. You know, it was, obviously it's a beautiful thing to be able to come home, you know, but then you always carry the guilt about the guys that didn't. You carry the guilt about, you know, your friends that aren't coming home. They're not going to get to hug their families, you know? So, That to me, you know, was a real special thing to be able to come home and to see my family again. And now I had a little, you know, 8, 9, 9-month-old kid, you know, who's looking at me like, who the heck are you?
Right.
You know, who's this guy coming into my home, you know?
Yeah.
But like many others, and I think this is an important thing to talk about, you know, like many others, I was just so angry when I got home, you know, and I didn't even know I was angry, you know, but, you know,
part of that anger comes from being in combat. I mean, if you're not angry, it comes from combat.
It comes from the high operational tempo, you know, it comes from you're on edge all the time, you know, even when there's not something going on, there's something going on, you know, you're not really sleeping well. and all of those things. And listen, I wouldn't trade the experience for the world, so I don't want to sit here and have anybody ever feel sorry for me.
Right.
In fact, I even get a little bit uncomfortable when people thank me for my service because it was just a job. You know, I thank them for just being citizens. You know, I thank the lady at the grocery store, you know, for being a clerk. I think that's an important job. And sometimes we get held up on a pedestal, you know, for doing the things that we do, and it makes me just a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm not good with it. But with that said, you know, I think it's important now that I have a voice, that you have a voice, that we are there to tell this story. I think this is a great show to be able to share our experiences so that other veterans know that they're not alone. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, that we can do now. Because our service continues, right? I think we'll serve.
I don't think it ever ends.
We'll serve until the day we die,
right.
You know. And I said this the other day that oath that we swore when we rose our right hand, you know, raised our right hand and swore that oath didn't die with our enlistment or our contract. You know, that oath, you know, stays with us.
Lifelong commitment.
It's a lifelong commitment, yes. You know, to defend this country. So, and to serve our communities. You know, I think, man, I know you've probably talked about this on your show before, you know, but we lose 22 veterans a day, you know.
We can never talk enough about that.
Yeah, but we can't talk enough about it. You're right. Because that number's not going down.
No.
You know, that number is actually remaining and increasing. And if we can reach out to one veteran, if one veteran can hear my voice and say, hey, man, you know what? He's gone through what I went through. He feels what I feel. He's done what I've done. And if it helps one person, you know, maybe put that gun down, you know, or live another day, I think that's a great thing.
So my son served with the 1-7.
Yeah.
And he was there in 2010 and 2011. He walked the streets in Fallujah a year and a half after I
did. Awesome.
Both of us served in Fallujah.
Yeah, yeah.
When he came back, so what is this? This is 2020. By 2016, okay, because he came back in 11. By 2016, they had 27 suicides in 1-7.
Yeah.
With his
in one battalion.
His red and blue, is that what they call it? Red and blue combat unit.
Yeah.
Or blue and red.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where.
Well, that's how the platoon was set up, and so in that in that group of men.
Yeah.
They lost 27 to suicide. 27.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, I mean, in 2-7 out of Pendleton or whatever that is, they had lost almost 35 men to suicide with the Marine Corps. This is just the Marine Corps with two different units.
I know. Yeah.
That's how critical this really is.
Yeah, I know. I've had such an opportunity to serve with some phenomenal leaders. You know, Roger Turner was one of them. He's now the commanding general of 29 Palms of the base there. You know, but at that time he was a lieutenant colonel at the time, and he was the battalion commander for 3-7. You know, just an absolutely phenomenal leader. But I know it is sad. It is sad that we're losing more Marines after combat than we did in combat.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
And so that's why it's so critical for these programs for us when we find out and seek out other veterans that served during the same time, that we help with that camaraderie, that we help, hey, you know, you need to talk, buddy check.
Absolutely.
You talk, you need
absolutely.
Whatever. And sometimes when they need to talk the most is in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because that's when the demons come out for whatever reason.
100%.
And so it's so important for us to continue to move forward and take care of that. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
There's a story that my daddy tells religiously, like clockwork every time he sees an opening in a conversation about the way things eat. Well, I just roll my eyes and make a beeline for the door, but I'd always end up starry-eyed, cross-legged on the floor, hanging on to every word. Man, the things I heard. It was harder times and longer days, 5 miles of school uphill both ways. We were cane switch grades of dirt floor poor. Of course, that was back before the war. Yeah, your uncle and I made quite a pair, flying F-15s through hostile air. He went down, but they missed me by hair. He'd always stop right there and say,
that's something to be proud of.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Cleanup has begun along parts of the northwest Gulf Coast, slammed by Hurricane Laura. The powerful storm left widespread damage and is blamed for more than a dozen deaths. Sadly, Hazelton lives in hard-hit Lake Charles, Louisiana. He and his family did not evacuate, opting instead to ride out the storm.
There's businesses gone. There's people without homes. So it was dumb. I said, we'll never do it again.
And the hurricane zone hosting an important visitor today. President Trump is there inspecting damage, getting an update on recovery efforts.
The president's visit comes 2 days after the Category 4 storm smashed into Lake Charles, Louisiana. The mayor of the city of 80,000 warns it could be weeks before water service is restored. Electricity is also out, and it could take crews weeks to put up new poles and restring power lines. The hurricane has killed 14 people in the United States, more than half by carbon monoxide poisoning due to unsafe operation of generators. Ken Lorman reports.
And the remnants of the hurricane have been dumping rain across a wide area from Tennessee and Kentucky to the mid-Atlantic and points north. Forecasters warn of the possibility of tornadoes as well. President Trump taking his Democratic challenger to task for only belatedly speaking up against rioting in the streets of American cities.
Joe Biden didn't even bring law and order up as a subject for discussion in the entire Democrat National Convention.
Mr. Trump telling a rally in New Hampshire the only reason Biden is talking about it now is because he's been slipping in the polls in recent days. The president held that campaign event in a large airport hangar near Manchester, New Hampshire, and it came on the heels of the Republican National Convention. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Christian Faith Publishing helps thousands of authors just like you publish their books with a company dedicated to strong Christian values. To help you get started, we want to send you our free author submission kit. Christian Faith Publishing reviews every book submitted to us, and if your book is approved, we'll edit, design, print, and distribute your book online and in bookstores everywhere. Imagine seeing your book in specialty Christian bookstores, Amazon, iTunes, Barnes & Noble, and many others. It could happen, and it all starts with one call to Christian Faith Publishing at 800-566-1012 for your free author submission kit. If you have a novel, children's book, poetry, biography, or any inspirational work you've written, we can help you get it published today. Shouldn't you work with a publisher who shares your Christian values of integrity and honesty? You can get your book published. So call for your free author submission kit right now. Call 800-566-1012. That's 800-566-1012. 800-566-1012.
Police in Berlin broke up a protest by opponents of Germany's pandemic restrictions after participants, not surprisingly, refused to socially distance.
Thousands of people gathered in a show of defiance against the country's coronavirus prevention measures. Protesters carried a wide range of grievances and banners proclaiming the opposition to vaccinations, face masks, and the German government in general. Prior to the protest, the Berlin regional government had sought to ban the protests, citing rallies earlier this month where rules intended to stop the virus being spread weren't respected. I'm Zeria Shakli.
The top U.S. military officer tells Congress the armed forces will have no role in carrying out the election process or in resolving any disputes. Comments from General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, underscore the current political environment in the country. News and analysis, townhall.com. One House lawmaker wants to know if intelligence agencies have been watching members of Congress.
California Democrat Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, a senior member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, asked two intelligence agencies on Friday if surveillance had been conducted on members of Congress in the last decade. In a letter to the heads of the National Security Agency and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, Eshoo raised alarm over allegations in a book published earlier this year by journalist Barton Gellman. The book included claims about an NSA surveillance tool used by former contractor Edward Snowden to allegedly search for communications associated with a House member's publicly listed official email address where constituents can contact their office. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
His portrayals of American black icons won him acclaim far and wide. Actor Chadwick Boseman has died following a lengthy battle with colon cancer. He was just 43 years old. More on these stories at Town Hall.
the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his line. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, for these stars and stripes, hey.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is United States Marine Corps Officer Carlos Zapata, veteran of Fallujah, and he is a true, real-life, living Mr. Red, White, and Blue here in our community as a Marine Corps veteran and doing his service in our community to help support our community and our fellow veterans and coming back and being an outstanding citizen. And Carlos, I just want to say thank you again for being here this morning. It's an honor to be able to be with you and to serve with, to talk with someone that we served together there in Fallujah, which was, what was it, 3/4 of a mile by 3/4 of a mile, and stacked on top of each other, Navy, Marine Corps, SEALs, you name it. We were all stuck there together serving our country under enemy fire. We were taking rockets all the time. And as soon as you left a wire, there were IEDs. If you went north towards Taji, there were AFPs, where there were explosive foreign projectiles that would just take out entire vehicles with one firing. And it was one of the most hellacious times in the history of Iraq. It's Ramadan. It's going to be easy Ramadan. Mm-hmm, we're expected to be really light, and it turned out to be the worst. Yeah. In the history of the battles,
that was part of the deception of Iraq. Plan. You know, they made us think that there was going to be some kind of a lull in their fires, and
I kept hash marks on my windshield of my Humvee for any kind of explosive device or IED. Between August and Christmas, I had over 300 hash marks on my windshield from all of the exposure of IEDs and enemy fire that we'd had on the road.
Yeah.
And it was to a point where I had to erase it off because I could no longer see through my windshield.
It's unnerving, it was crazy. Right? I remember when we first landed in country, you know, my buddy, Josh Mayoral, was with me, and just a great, great officer. He's still in the Marine Corps, you know, great guy. And the first time you hear that gunfire, you know, it's like, oh, we're here, you know, because it seems like forever to get there, right? It seems like all the anticipation, the build up, you know, to go into somewhere unknown where you've never been before. And that first time you hear the gunfire, it's like, okay, I guess this is real. Here we are, you know. But before we broke for the break there, we were talking a little bit about, you know, serving our communities now, you know, and connecting with veterans. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do. We can tell war stories all day and tell, you know, and I love that. I love talking about those experiences, you know. But I think there's a lot of people, you know, who've had experiences after the fact, after they came home, that are perhaps more dangerous than what they experienced in combat or in country, you know, because now they have to slow life down and face their demons, you know. They have to do this all while maintaining marriages and being fathers and mothers and whatnot, you know. So this is sort of, you know, what I've dedicated a lot of my time to, you know, is connecting with other veterans, you know. I love being together with other veterans. I love drinking beer with other veterans because I think it's such a good thing for our community to be able to do, to share, you know, and to talk and to know that there's other people that are going through the same things that you're going through. There's other people waking up at 3 a.m, you know, and can't sleep. There's other people, you know.
Almost every night I'm awake at 3:00.
Me too. It's 100%, terrible. You know, my wife hates it. You know, she's like, man, you need to sleep more. I said, I don't know how.
I'm out pacing out. Know?
Absolutely. And I've never, ever in my life, I mean, I've never even been to the VA to talk about PTSD. I don't even think I have PTSD, but if I went, they'd probably tell me I do. I don't know. Maybe we all do. But regardless of that, you know, we all have demons that we have to face, you know, and we can do it alone, or we can know that there's other people that'll share the burden with us, you know, that are going through the same thing. And I think that's important. So, look me up on Facebook, look me up on Twitter, look me up on Instagram, whatever, you know, if you're a veteran and you ever need to talk, whether we serve together, whether I know you or not, I hope that you would absolutely send me a message, because I do check my messages. And if you need to talk, you send me your number. I'll call you at 3 a.m.
Well, now you own the Palomino room in Red Bluff.
Yes, sir.
So that's a great place to go sit down and have a beer.
Come have a beer. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I always thought that that bar needed a big American flag in it. That's the first thing I did was when I bought the bar is I hung a big flag in there, you know, as a reminder to people, you know, that, listen, we are still an American establishment.
Absolutely, you know? Yes.
And open to veterans because I've always loved the flag. You know, I was raised in a family where we were taught to be patriotic. You know, my parents were immigrants, you know, but they were very, very patriotic Americans now, you know. And that flag has always meant something very, very special to me, but it always means something just a little bit more when you come back from war, right, or when you've served. And one thing, too, I mean, we have some fantastic veterans who never had the chance to go overseas, who never had the chance to serve in a combat theater, you know, to serve in war. And I think it's just as important to reach out and bring those guys in as well, because I think there's a lot of guys who've been in that operational tempo, whether it's training, whether it's, you know, just doing their jobs, whatever it is, for so many years, who have some level of PTSD because of that, who never even deployed, you know. So I never like to leave those guys out of the circle, you know. Yes, us war veterans like to, you know, kind of, you know, stand together, you know, and raise a glass together and tell our stories, and that's all great, you know. But I think it's important that we invite those guys in too, who are, you know, homeland veterans.
You know, we have the Northern California Veterans Museum, yeah. And it covers every veteran who wore a uniform, whether sure. they were in combat or not.
Yeah.
And you already know as a Marine Corps officer that it takes between 12 and 22 individuals to support that one individual on the front line. No. So every single one of those are combat support, whether they're in the United States or whether they're overseas.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know. And I think it's great that here in Shasta County, you know, we do have such a strong community of veterans, you know, and I think that's important. That really is important. We have to keep that up because if guys like us, if guys like you don't do what you're doing, this dies. You know, this idea of serving our fellow veterans just kind of goes away. Nobody else is going to do it, you know. So we got to stand up. And you said at the beginning of the show that, you know, it's never been more important. There's never been a more important time for veterans to stand up, you know. So
yes, because we fought and bled for it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we had friends die for it, you know. And I'm not going to live the rest of my life in vain, you know. I'm going to make sure that their sacrifice is well worth it.
Well, after you've been shot at and you make it home, it's, you know, you've been given a second chance to continue to make a difference.
Absolutely.
This is our second chance to make a difference.
It is. And we can do that in so many different ways, you know. You know, some of us continue service in law enforcement. You know, some guys go, you know, into maybe the National Guard or the Reserves, you know, which is great. And some guys just, you know, go into civilian life, you know, make the transition into just being civilians and put that, you know, on the back shelf and, you know, all those
things. Never talk about it.
Never talk about it, yeah, again. So.
And that can be tough, too, because somewhere down the road it's going to resurface.
It does. I would say for the first 10 years after I got out, I never really thought about it, you know. I missed it dearly. Listen, I miss my Marines so much. I miss them. If I talk about it enough, I'll cry. I will literally shed tears.
I understand.
Because I miss those guys so much.
Right, brotherhood.
You know? I mean, I love them like my own kids. I love them like my own brothers, like they were blood. The Marine Corps does a pretty good job of convincing you that they are actually your brothers, you know,
right.
that you guys were all born from the same womb. You know? and we keep in good touch, you know, a lot of us do and whatnot. But, yeah. So I would say it was about 10 years, you know, where, you know, I just didn't really think about it, you know, and everybody told me, they said, you know, as you get older, a lot of those memories, a lot of those thoughts start to kind of creep in, you know, you start having to deal with things that maybe you never thought you'd have to deal with, you know, and now here we are getting older, falling apart, my knees hurt, my back hurts, you know.
You know, and I was a mechanic on my team, so, you know, you're carrying 125 pounds with your sappy gear and your combat loads. Because we carry for the M4 and the 9mm, and I carry shotgun loads, so that when you're outside your Humvee and you can't get back to your vehicle, you better be prepared to save your life for the guy next to you.
And when you're young, so you none of that everything. Stuff hurts you. Well, when you're young, you know, and then it's like we are getting old, you're like, oh, I do remember why my back hurts now.
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're going to take a break. Our guest is Marine Corps Officer Carlos Zapata, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this
is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Real people, real winners, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play offer in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday offers from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match them up to $100 in free play. And to sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. One birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Free slot play limited to $100. Real people, real winners. You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come and explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Our friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. More games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. No one else in town offers this. For all the table games details, download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
He's got a corner lot on Dogwood Drive. A year old truck and a 9-to-5 comes home at night to a pretty wife with a baby due. He'll sleep in on Saturday. Cut the grass if it don't rain. After church, he'll watch the game and have a beer or two. He'll stand up when he hears the anthem, and that won't ever change. He's still a soldier. His blood runs red, white, and blue. He put away his gun and boot, but he still the American dream, his last breath he'll always be a soldier.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're so fortunate to have our guest here, United States Marine Corps Officer Carlos Zapata, and he is a local veteran, lives here in Shasta County, owns the Palomino Bar down in Tehama County in Red Bluff. And he is a vital part of our community in as a citizen and also as a combat veteran here. And good morning again, Carlos, and thank you for being with us this morning.
This is great. You know, it's nice to be on this kind of a show, you know. A little change of pace for me. We've been talking so much about, you know, what's been going on over the last couple of weeks with my speech at the Board of Supervisors.
You're a national sensation.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I've seen you in national news everywhere. And it's like, you know, but you know what? What you said was right on, and it couldn't have been more. And these people need to wake up. And they're not. Yeah. They don't have a clue. It's like they're sleeping and everything is just nothing ever sticks. It's like throwing a spaghetti to the wall and it never sticks.
And they have no idea what it's cost us to get to where we are as a country. You know, the blood, the sweat, the tears, you know, just the grand effort that it's taken to get to where we are as a free country and to want to dismantle that, you know, and to start to take away our freedoms, you know. It's like, dude, we literally fought for that, you know. Guys like you and me and many of our brothers and sisters, we literally had to go to another country with a gun to earn our right to have a voice here, you know. And that means something. And I think that resonates with a lot of people, you know. So,
and it is so nice to hear somebody else say that, because there are so many times I'm in the community voicing my opinion in that manner, and it seems like it's falling on deaf ears. Like, because they can't relate, they don't understand, they don't care.
Sure.
And so many times it seems like I'm voicing my opinion, trying to get the passion across of why certain things are so important. And people say, why are you so angry? Why are you this? Or, you know, it's not anger, it's passion.
It's passion.
We earned the right to be passionate about life, liberty, and justice in our American way, because, like you said, we saw Marines lay down their lives. I saw Seabees lay down their lives for this country. And once you see that, it changes you as an individual, because you all of a sudden know the ultimate sacrifice of what it takes to have for what we have here, and other people toss it aside every day.
Absolutely. You know, they say the rent's due every day on freedom, right? It's got to be paid every single day. And there's somebody out there paying it, you know. And you're right. Those who aren't, those who are so far removed from that aspect of life, have no appreciation, you know, for what it is. So it's very easy for them to have their own ideals about the way things should be, you know. But we're at such an existential crisis right now. We're at a critical point in our history where, if we don't change course right now, we're going to get into a situation that we're not going to be able to vote our way out of, you know. And I don't know why people think that we can. You know, they think that we can accept this, and that if it just doesn't go the way that we thought, we can always vote our way out. Well, let me tell you something. I mean, historically, you'll find that you cannot vote your way out of socialism, and that's what we're heading toward right now. We are on a collision course right now with socialism.
People are lackadaisical and lazy.
Very, very lackadaisical, very lazy. I think somebody else is going to do it. I think somebody else is going to pick up the torch. Somebody else is going to hang the flag. Somebody else is going to give the speech. Somebody else is going to go fight, and, you know. And these are the people yelling at their TVs, right? And I hate to say it, but it's many people on our side of the aisle, right? People who believe, like we believe, maybe freedom-loving Americans. But they'd rather sit there and yell at CNN or yell at Fox News, you know, than actually get off their butts and do something, you know, and actually go talk to somebody and actually make a difference in the communities, you know, because this takes all of us. I mean, this is not, you know, a small effort. That what we're engaged in right now, the war that we're now engaged in against the ideas of, you know, I'm going to call it what it is, socialism, communism, you know, want to take away our rights.
Anarchy,
yeah, dude. This is going to take all of us to fight. It's going to take every last freedom-loving American citizen to fight, you know. And I don't care if you're a veteran, or I don't care if you're not a veteran, I don't care if you're young, old, whatever. It's going to take every single person, you know.
Well, it's either fight or be a slave.
Absolutely.
They're talking about slavery issues. Guess what? You're going to be a slave to communism.
Yeah, you are.
And if you go back to the 70s and the 60s during the Cold War, we are Czechoslovakia. We are East 100%. Germany. We are Europe that was fighting for freedom at that time with the riots in the streets and the secret police. Yep. We are on that edge right now.
Absolutely. We're on that course. You know, we're on that road. And like I said, we're not going to be able to vote ourselves out of this. You know, you can't wait till the next election, because there won't be a next election, you know. And the only way you get out of socialism is you got to fight. And that's it. And I don't mean fighting with words. I don't mean going and showing up at the board of supervisors meeting. I don't mean, you know, writing books or waving flags. And I said this in the speech, you know, it's got to be real. At some point, it's going to become kinetic to where we're having to pick up arms against our fellow citizens. And that sucks to say. I mean, I've been called a domestic terrorist since I gave this speech. People are saying, you know.
We're combat veterans. They consider us that anyway, because we already had the guts to stand up for what we believe in.
You know, absolutely. And things I've been called. And listen, I have thick skin. That's okay. You know, does it anger me? Sure, whatever. But I just have to know that those are people that would never say the things that they're saying to our faces, you know. And those are people that have never made a difference, never sacrificed, and never will. So we got time? Okay. Well, we can keep talking.
Now go right ahead. I always end up looking at the clock.
But it's kind of funny. When this whole thing started, my sister had posted that speech that she pulled off of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors website. And I told her, hey, take that down. I don't want that stuff going viral. You know, I said,
it was viral
that,
the night.
You know, and it was too late. That thing grew legs and ran, you know, real fast. And
you know what? Hats off to you. I commend you for having enough guts to, and courage to stand up and say that.
You know,
because I believe in every word that you say.
Well, I do appreciate that, but I have to give the props to Alyssa McEwen. And if she's listening to this, or if anybody's her friend, and I'm her friend, I'll let her know this, and I have let her know this. And I'm so proud of her because she's the one who's been organizing. She's a warrior. She's been standing up and really pulling people together, you know, on this thing to unite, you know, and to speak and to be effective. And she's just a real hero in our community right now. If it wasn't for her, I would not have spoken that day. So I owe any kind of voice that I have now, I owe to her, you know, because she literally grabbed me, threw me to the front of the line and said, Carlos, you have to speak. You have something to say here, you know. And I did. So for those 3 minutes, you know, I gave them everything I thought was pertinent. I gave them everything I had, you know. And now it's the shot that was heard around the world, right, because I think it incited a fire, ignited a fire in a lot of people. And I've had thousands of, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of messages now from all over the world of people who say, hey, we're with you, you know. And I hope that our leaders are listening to this. I hope that our politicians, you know, hear our voice here, because we're coming, you know, and we're not coming lightly. We're not coming to talk anymore, because you're not listening to our voice. We've been doing this. We've been, you know, begging you to change course. We've been begging you for our fundamental rights back, to be able to open our businesses, to feed our families, you know. And if you won't let us do that, we're going to fight you, you know. And you can, I'm sure I'm on some FBI watch list or whatever, but at the end of the day,
we're in the military. We're already on there.
Yeah. We know, at the end of the day, we want the same thing. We want freedom. We want peace.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit
all,
of happiness.
All I
it's in
do,
our Constitution.
Absolutely. And all I want to do is, I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for the government to protect me. I'm not asking for a job. I'm not asking for anything other than to be able to just raise my family in the way that I want.
That's what scares them, because you're an independent individual who thinks on your own, and you're not reliant upon the government.
I don't need them. You know,
tit, I'll say it.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because everybody that else is out there is expecting that check for the government. They're expecting the food, the free education, the free this, the free that. And those of us who have served by giving everything that we have. So we know the price is paid.
Absolutely. You know, I know the price is paid. I never take that for granted, you know. But, you know, like I said, it's very existential, this crisis. We will literally lose our existence. We'll lose our identity. We'll lose who we are if we don't fight now, because it's happening really, really quickly. And, you know, I never wanted to be in a political, you know, sphere. This was never my.
You're not a politician.
I'm not a
statesman.
I'm not a politician.
A statesman is for the people.
I'm not politically correct. I don't say the right things.
Politicians,
you know,
are literally for themselves. It's selfishness. Yeah.
I don't say the right things all the time, or the most politically correct things. And when I was a young officer in the Marine Corps, it got me in trouble a lot, but it earned me a lot of credibility with my Marines at the same time.
Well, I know that as a senior chief, too.
Yeah.
So, I was always stepping on some officer's toe.
No.
So it is what it is.
I pissed off a lot of people. But, you know, I think it's what makes me effective now, is that I'm standing up and I'm saying things that are on my heart, and it's resonating with millions and millions and millions of people, you know. And if my voice gives them a voice, then I know what we're doing the right thing here, and we'll continue to do it.
Just your life gives them a voice as a Marine.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, and as a veteran, I mean, that by itself sets us in a whole category by itself. And then stepping up and being a leader as you were in combat, and now coming back and being a leader in the community. It's critical. Any way you look at it, it's critical, because we see the threat of the danger. And what do Marines do? They find the threat. They find the danger. They seek it out, and they destroy it. That is the mission of the Marine Corps.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you can't stand idly by. You know, if we stand idly by, you know, I mean, really bad things are going to happen to us and to our kids.
Where silence is consent.
You know? It is. And they're trying to silence us, right? What do they put on our faces? They're making us mask our faces to silence us. And if we think for 1 second that that's about, you know, preventing the virus from spreading, we're completely mistaken. We need to do some serious soul searching. And
it seems to me that they're pushing us to a point to see exactly how far they can go before we start pushing back.
100%. And now we're pushing back.
We're there.
We're at that point. So,
once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. You're listening to Carlos Zapata, United States Marine Corps officer. He and I served together in Fallujah, Iraq, at the same time, in the same area, throughout the same roads, same streets and everything. And it's a privilege to have him here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on the plot line and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our nine new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and four huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for four with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and two large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed three to four, so try all nine. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. on Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waves from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Once again, good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, The Ragged Old Flag by Johnny Cash.
That's one of my favorites. I listen to that at least once a week.
Well, here you go. Here's your order. We're going to end your week and start fresh right here. You know, I want to remind you folks that are out there listening, this is the preamble to the Constitution. We're talking about things that we believe in, things that we learn, things that we know by serving in our nation and military. And this is what we stand up and defend and we talk about. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. This is what we served for. This is what we raise our hand to, the oath to the Constitution of the United States, to uphold and defend this nation against foreign and domestic enemies. And so when anybody, and you need to listen to this, if anybody comes up against the Constitution and they do not support and defend it, they are not friends. They are enemies. Just because a rattlesnake does not bite you does not mean it's not a rattlesnake. And those that pick up the rattlesnake and play with it and then go, oh, I got bit, now I'm going to die. Well, life's tough because you didn't pay attention to the rules. Rattlesnakes kill. And that's where we are in our nation right now. That's where we are as military personnel who are retired. That's where we are as citizens who believe in this nation and the Constitution that this country was founded upon. And we're here to support and defend it after we've come home because we swore to that oath to our nation and to our fellow Americans.
The three most important words in what you read there, we the people, you know, and we forget those three words and the meaning of those three words. It's we the people. And that's what makes our nation different from any other country in the world, really, any other experiment, right? Is that we're able to govern ourselves. We're able to choose the way that we want to live our lives, you know. And we've sort of forgotten over the years. And my own thoughts is that we've been conditioned, you know, generation after generation, decade after decade, to believe that the government has our best interest in mind, to believe that the elected government is in charge of us and will set out the rules and regulations to make us safer and to make our lives better. And we forget that the power is not theirs, the power is ours, you know. So when an official does something we don't like, it's our job to hold them accountable. And we forget that accountability piece, you know.
One of the things that I'd like to remind folks is that when Saddam Hussein took over Iraq, the first thing he did was kill all the educators and kill all the leaders. And one of the reasons that he did that was because education is power. So as soon as you eliminate anybody who actually is educated and knows the history and the origin and right and wrong and what is taken, you eliminate that, and now you have a society of idiots,
yeah,
uneducated people who are become sheep who cannot think for themselves. And we're almost, or we are at that point in our nation where the education has been diluted so much by socialist structure and so much by outside influences that our structure and our historical aspect of our nation has been taken away. It's literally almost gone.
Yeah.
And that's why these people are knocking down statues, because they don't even know the historical aspect, yeah, behind it. It's, yeah, just in their mind is some thought or concept somebody said on the street, not because of what the actual fact of what it actually is.
Absolutely. You know, anything that they can do to erase our identity as Americans, they will do. Let's not make any mistake about it. You know, so you didn't agree with, you know, the Confederate statues. You didn't agree with, you know, maybe what they stood for at the time. You didn't agree with...
Well, I don't agree with the statues, but I'm not going to tear them down.
Of course, I don't either. I mean, I don't think a rational person alive today is going to say, hey, let's go back to slavery.
Right.
No, nobody's saying that, you know.
Exactly.
But we cannot erase how we got here. We cannot erase that hard, bumpy road that got us to where we're at and forget it altogether, you know. And these are people who haven't actually read history. They haven't actually read, you know, memoirs on the Civil War. They haven't actually read experiences from people that were there. All they've done is they've swallowed what their college professors or high school teachers are cramming down their
throat. The lies.
You know, the lies.
Yeah.
You know,
misinformation.
And there's an agenda here, right? Let's make no mistake about this agenda. I'll tell you, I grew up in a time where we were told that if you don't go to college, you're going to end up being a plumber. Well, a plumber makes $100 an hour now. I wish I was a plumber, you know. you know? But
babies.
Absolutely. But all of this, I think, was to make us feel bad that if you don't go to college, you're somehow a lower tier of society.
Right.
And we believe that. So off we all went. We went to school. Little did we know that we were funneling a large percentage of Americans through a pipeline that was going to lead them into an indoctrination of brainwashing, right? That's why these colleges are so important to their cause. You know, these colleges, these college professors are probably the most important, you know, what do you call it?
They're the underlying benefactor people. Of socialism.
They are, you know, they really are the culprits. You know, they're the ones who are carrying this word for them, right? They're the ones who are passing this on to these young people. So to me now, you know, I'm like, shoot, I don't even want my kids to go to college now if they're going to be indoctrinated that way, you know? And if, unless you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, something that requires you to have a college degree, I would say go do something else, you know, go
trade schools.
You know, go to trade schools, you know? I mean, that's important. We're losing people in the trades.
We have so, that's why the cost of everything to be repaired and built is so expensive, because there are fewer and fewer trade skills people.
Absolutely.
That have those skills. And
absolutely.
So pretty soon, if it's not prefab by some other nation, we're going to have nothing here. We're already at that point where we have nothing here in our own
nation. We can't build it ourselves, you know, and it's sad. We need that. We need people, you know, who are going to go into the trades, people who are going to build this country again, you know. So, but you know, I mean, we can't make any mistake about it. You know, they have an agenda. They want us to be, you know, a socialist and eventually a communist country, you know, because they think we're going to take care of everybody, you know. And I think some of these people even have good intentions. You know, I think that some of these people have the intention of, hey, you know what? We want everybody to be equal. Everybody gets a freaking participation trophy now, right? Nobody wins. Nobody loses. We're all the same. And that eats at the soul of who we are. I mean, that eats at your soul, you know? I think Ronald Reagan had said this, right, that socialism fails to account for the human soul, you know, that they promise you material things, you know, and they're very good at quantifying material belongings, material possessions, you know, but what they don't take into account is the soul of the person, you know, that soul that tells you to drive on, that soul that drives you to do good things, you know, to be somebody, to build something for your family, to build a legacy, you know. And I think he even said in that speech, he said, even if it is to own a sailboat one day, you know, that's okay, that's all right, you know.
I like to sail. Yeah. I have a sailboat.
Absolutely.
When I came back from Iraq, part of my PTSD therapy was to sail there in San Diego at Balboa
Naval
Hospital.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
cool.
We went out there and we would take as many different veterans coming back as we could and sail out of Point Loma.
Yeah.
And after coming back off the roads with all the explosions and dangers and then being in a sailboat, let's do it 6 knots in the center of the harbor and there's water everywhere and sun and ocean. It was fantastic to bring these veterans back and be able to go out there to sail and to be part of that healing process.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the critical aspects I don't get enough chance to do is to be able to go out and do that.
Yeah.
But that's part of the free soul.
It is.
Of being able to express yourself and just enjoy that slow time instead of having the rush.
Absolutely.
And the hatred and the pressure that you see on the news every single night, it just compresses.
It's a pressure cooker.
So many people, they don't talk about it, but there's so many people committing suicide in the general public because they're so depressed about what they're seeing on the news every single night.
Absolutely. And now that we're sitting here facing this crazy COVID crisis, if you want to call it that, you know, we are dealing with a high level of depression, high level of domestic abuse, high level of child abuse. These are things that we're not talking about. Nobody's talking about. No scientist can quantify that, right? you know, they'd rather talk about this disease, this virus, you know, that really isn't killing anybody. And I know I'm going to catch crap for saying that, but the fact is I'm not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And if I do, we'll be fine, you know, but we have to be able to make a living, have to be able to raise our families.
Carlos, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I was there in the winter of 64 when we camped in the ice at Nashville's door. 300 miles our trail had led. We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. I died with a grape shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace, for every fallen son. Set my spirit free, let me lay down my gun. Sweet Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions and how true it is not coming home till the last shot's fired, till the mission's complete, till the job is done, till you're at a point where you can close your eyes and know that you're not going to be overtaken or enemy fire upon you or whatever else. And I don't think that some of that ever goes away from a combat veteran, because you're always somewhere in your mind anticipating the enemy being out there. And that's one of the things that is always on my mind sometimes. It doesn't go away. It's being aware of your surroundings and being conscious of doesn't matter whether it's a foreign enemy and you're in another country, or you're at home and it's a domestic enemy, whether it's a thief or whether it's societal issues or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I know that, Carlos, I know that you, that like you said, when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in your mind something woke you up because you're aware of your surroundings, situational awareness.
Yeah. I think we're uber alert, right? We're that alert level just never really turns off. And it's exhausting, right? It's exhausting
it
at times, you know.
That's what it talks about in the song, about
you're
being always, exhausted all the time.
You're always on edge. You're always just like, okay, I'm ready to fight somebody, you know. And no, listen, you know, we've been having a great conversation here about, you know, our experiences and what our vision is, you know, for veterans and how we can help. And I want to thank you for doing this. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. You know, I know we're kind of coming to the end of the show here. But I do want to talk about a few things, you know, of how people can help. This is probably the question that I get the most, is that how can I help? How can I be a part of what you're doing? And I said, look, you have to, number one, you have to be in contact with people that have a voice, right? So whether that be your representatives, you know, at the state level, hopefully at the county level, you know, your supervisors at the city level, your city council members, you have to be in contact with those people, and you need to be a thorn in their side. You need to be telling them exactly what it is that's on your heart and what you want for your community. Because if you're not doing that, yeah, and they're left to their own devices, right?
Silence is consent.
Yeah, silence is consent.
So it's imperative.
Absolutely, you know, and I said it earlier that we have to hold our leaders accountable. So you can do that, you know. Another thing you can do is to, you know, be on social media, but be effective on social media. You know, a lot of people get on social media just to troll or just to comment or to like things, you know. Join groups that are actually productive. There's a lot of crap groups out there that just aren't, you know, there for anything other than just
to
bitch and moan, you know. Don't get into those, you know. I mean, the bitching and the moaning is gone. I mean, we've already done that. You know, we can sit here and we can moan and whine all we want, but we're getting into a group that's actually getting together for action, you know, a group that's actually helping the community, a group that's actually going to show up at a supervisor's meeting with a message, a group that's actually going to go down to Sacramento to try to meet with and lobby with, you know, state representatives. That's important, you know. But I would also take it to the next level and say, be part of a group that's ready to fight. You know, if you're able-bodied and you have a gun, go clean your gun. Go shoot your gun. Don't think that because you own a gun, you're going to be able to use it when the time comes. and we know that. I say it to people all the time. I thought the guy's like, oh, I went out and I got a gun. Hey, awesome. Cool. That's step one, you know. But step 2, 3, 4, and 10 is that you actually have to go out there. You have to learn that weapon, fire that weapon, you know, and train with that weapon, you know. And now am I saying everybody needs to go get a gun because we're going to fight? Well, maybe, you know, but hopefully there's other steps that we can take before we get to that point. But I will say that we're really, really close to having to take up arms. And if we don't think that's going to happen at some point, I think we're blind and mistaken, you know. And I'm hoping that right now the ball's in their court, right? We've already sort of gave them the warning, not a threat, but we gave them a warning of what's coming. And the ball's in their court to change course. And if it doesn't change course, there's going to come a time where we're going to need everybody, you know, to fight with us, you know. But anyways, not to get off on that tangent, but what can you do for your communities? You know, live your life. I said this the other day, you know, on Terry's program. I said, look, a big thing that we can do is just go to work every day. You know, be a good citizen. We forget what that's like. You know, we forget the importance of just keeping up some sense of normalcy. When they're trying to confuse us, they're trying to make our lives chaotic with COVID and masks and testing, not testing, requirements, regulations, you know, and all these things. They want to turn our lives upside down. The biggest antidote to that is simply to live a normal life. To say, no, you know what, I'm not going to wear a mask. No, you know what, I'm not going to put my kid in school if they're going to have to wear masks and sit in cubicles and be separate from other kids.
Your kids would learn better at home anyway.
They'd learn better at home
anyway.
That's
exactly right.
So we're homeschooling our kids this year, you know, because of all this. And what a great experience for them just to be able to learn at home and not to, and to know that they can stand up for themselves and say, no, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to say no. A lot of people ask me, how do you get into the store without a mask? I said, just like I did for the last 41 years. You know, same way. I walk in, you know. Well, don't they say anything? No. It's on how you carry yourself, you know. Walk with confidence. Be assertive. You know, look them in the eye and say, I'm not going to wear one, and you keep walking, you know. There's been one store that I have not been able to go into, and that was a Pendleton store. You know, I was going to get my wife a nice birthday gift a while back, and they wouldn't let me in without a mask, and that's okay. They lost my business forever now.
That's right.
You know, and hopefully everybody else's business. But, you know, and let me say something real quick. You know, I don't think our fight is against that 20-year-old kid at the door telling you, you know, you can't come in. It's not his fault. He's doing what he thinks is right, you know. He's doing what his bosses tell him to do, you know. Do I think that that kid lacks conviction? Absolutely. Like, I would never let my kids have that kind of a job. You know, if your job goes against your moral convictions, you have to get a new job, right? So in the sense they are responsible.
I've told people that before. Yeah. And they said, well, they need a job.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Find another job.
Find another job. Yeah, do something else, right? But at the same time, our fight is not with them. Don't pick a fight with those people. You know, pick a fight with the corporations that are mandating their employees to do these things, you know. Or simply don't shop there, you know. What can
it's
you
your
do?
Choice.
You know, I hear this all the time. Oh, well, shoot, you know. I don't agree with it, but I have to shop there. I have to go get groceries. So we'll find another grocery store. Go somewhere else. There's always an option, you know. I still, to this day, how many days are we into this deal now? I still have not worn a mask once. In fact, we got kicked off a plane, you know, last week because I wouldn't put on a mask. We got to boarding. We were supposed to go to Florida, and we boarded the plane, and I wouldn't put one on, so we left, you know. We got off.
And now that's a high conviction.
But you got to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be willing to do that. And listen, we could end this thing right now. Like, literally in the next hour, we can end this entire thing if we simply just said, no, we're not doing that. What are they going to do? You know, they can't stop all of us, you know. If we all stop shopping, if everybody stops shopping at Costco, guess what? Tomorrow, today, Costco will change their policy. Like, literally in the next hour, they will change their corporate policy to say, hey, you don't have to wear a mask, you know. But people just need to stand up. They need to have courage. They need to say, no, I'm not doing that. Well, why? Why is it so important, Carlos? Why is it so wrapped up in this whole mask thing? Because let me tell you, the psychological effects of that mask are absolutely horrendous. They're horrifying, you know. Do some research. Read about it. Read about what it means to mask a kid, to put your hand over a kid's mouth, you know, what you're doing to that child to make them subversive to a government.
It's like a bridle to a horse.
It is conditioned. Absolutely. Absolutely it is, you know. So I would hope that people are not doing that. You know, when I see families with their children, I get very, very sad for those kids, you know, so for what they're learning. But listen, just, you know, be a free American, you know, go outside, you know, go fishing, you know, shoot your guns, go to dinner with your family, spend time with your friends, you know, go drink beer, do things, you know, that make you happy, things that are going to, you know, just make you a better American altogether. But you know, first and foremost, serve your communities, you know, and be there for each other.
Courage.
You know, and stay in the fight, you know. Have the courage to do what's right.
Yeah, because a lot of it is it's fear that's brought on by the government. It's fear that's brought on by the news because every night the news pumps fear into our society everywhere.
Their agenda can only be carried out if you buy into the fear. That's it. If you're not scared, their agenda falls on its face every single time.
And that's why it's so important for us to encourage each other, continue to move forward, have that courage and to be able to support each other and to know as you move forward that you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
We're right down to our last minute here, Carlos. Thank you again for
being
here. Thank
you so much. It's been really, really cool.
You're always welcome here to come
and
talk and Marine Corps about our American justice, our Constitution, and our local community. And thank you for standing up when other people are not standing up.
Thank you. And I'll repeat what I said earlier. Get a hold of me. If you need to talk to somebody, you know, before you go and do something drastic, please come talk to me. I'm here. So.
And you can get a hold of him through Homeward Bound through the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
He sat in that long line of barber chairs. And the sergeant asked him, son, would you like to keep your hair? He said, yes, sir, as he heard those clippers buzz and hum. And the sergeant said, well, hold out your hand, 'cause here it comes.
simplify, do or die. So gung ho to go and pay the price.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.